fired up to get our friend Mr. John Keim on the program. Of course, you can follow John's work, ESPN.com, at John underscore Keim, K-E-I-M, or the John Keim Report on YouTube, wherever you get your podcast. Hey, Johnny, how was your weekend off, dude?
It was nice to have that time, man. Smoked some chicken.
I knew you smoked something.
Bought a chainsaw. All life is good.
Bought a chainsaw?
What's the occasion for the chainsaw?
To... Just, I guess if you have some anger issues, maybe. No. Got some stuff in the yard that has to come down. So, yeah.
Gotcha.
All good.
Now that we've had a few days to kind of process everything from Philly, watch a weekend of football all over the place, what do you think is slowing down Washington all of a sudden? Their offense is not performing at the same clip it was for probably the first half of the season.
Sure, and I think, I mean, is there really, I don't know that there's one reason, but like I do think there are a few, right? So I think the run game, when Brian Robinson isn't in there, has an impact. I think, a primary factor has been they've played some really good defenses. I mean, they have, in the last 4 weeks, the Bears, the Steelers, and the Eagles all are like top eight, I think, run defense in terms of scoring. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I think that's a huge issue. Now, the Bears are a red zone issue. Should have been a lot. I mean, the potential for a lot more points is there, but you didn't score them. And the Steelers game, you can look at it and say, listen, couple throws, whether it's a couple drop passes, couple missed throws, a missed block on that quarterback draw, you make one of those, you know, then it's like now you're scored over 30 points against the Steelers, right? So, like, I do think the Steelers did a really good job containing Daniels in the pocket, really good front, good game plan. I felt like the Eagles took away the deep shots, the explosive balls with Fangio's defense, did a really good job with that. So you can look at individual and say it's all that, but is there something else going on too? Is it, you know, how much is Jaden's rib bothering him on that? Hard to say, but you have to wonder about that, right? Because right. There's been a change, and is it just because they're playing really good defense? Is it because of, you know, they don't have the same run game without when Robinson's in there versus when he's not? And so I don't know. I do think there's a few issues, and I'm not dismissing anything because I don't know. And I think we'll get a good feel for, like, where is it really? If they have really good games the next 2 weeks, then it's like, well, part of it was just, I think, maybe the quality of defenses you're facing. I mean, look at what Pittsburgh did to Lamar yesterday.
Right.
You know, so like that, you do look at that stuff. And so, you know, probably a few reasons, right?
Yeah. I look at the offensive line and the protection as well. Yeah. And I think that so for some reason we talk so much about stats, we don't discuss that.
Yeah.
We saw Wally get hurt. We saw Coleman get hurt. We see Beatis with three different injuries.
Yep.
You know, Allegretti had an injury. All those things begin to wear down. If it's wearing down the other players, the protection is a vital part of all of that.
I think that's a great point, and that's something you have to put on there too, because when you watch the last couple of weeks, those defensive fronts did a really good job, and not just like where they're stopping the run, but also pushing the pocket. So, like the Steelers, for example, they blitzed more than they had in any other game.
Yeah.
But they also did a good job with the ends of pinching the pocket. But you had tackles who could push back too. There was only, you know, like last year, the Eagles' pass rush to me was very undisciplined. They left gaps for Howell to get through, and I think it made a difference. You didn't see a lot of gaps this time. There were a couple times where you saw it, but I felt like, you know, like with Jalen Carter, I felt like the ends did a good job pinching, and again, Carter pushing. Now there was a time late in the game on the last drive where it was like one of the few times like Jaden had the room to step up and deliver a zip. And I think it's one of the passes to Ertz late in the game. Maybe it even been the touchdown. I don't remember, but it was one, but the pocket wasn't collapsed. So like you notice that stuff. So I think that's as good a point as any, is that, you know, they are dealing with that and they've played and they've had to play really good fronts and it makes the difference. And we've seen that. So that's why I say, I don't think it's as simple as like, oh, he hurt his rib, the numbers are dropped, therefore it's the rib. I think you have to look at all those things.
I totally agree with you. Talking with our friend John Keim here. You can follow him at John_Keim, K-E-I-M. Make sure you check out the John Keim Report, also his podcast. But, Johnny, I think I'm totally with you. I think they kind of gave one away to the Steelers. And if they had won that one, the morale, the conversation wouldn't be nearly as close to what it is. Looking ahead now, Dallas coming to town, they're coming off a short week, and then they've got another short week on the flip side of it on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
This needs to kind of be an ass-kicking, right?
Listen, man, so we had this assignment for ESPN where it's like, what's the biggest game of the second half? And I put this one down because partly because you looked at the schedule like, that's asking a lot to win one of those games, let alone both, and they obviously dropped both. So I kind of thought coming off this stretch, like you need to get healthy against Dallas. You know, not healthy physically wise, but just, you know, in terms of your game, right? And so, yes. And just win is what they need to do, but I think you want to go back and, like, look like your old selves offensively. Because one thing they've done really well, and it's funny, because you get people like, oh, they've done this beating bad teams. Well, yeah, but they lost to them before. Like, this is, you know what I mean? But what they did do against bad teams this year outside of the Giants, who always play them well, they've beaten them bad. And so, like, that's, you know, whether they can do that or not, but, like, that, I think that would calm people down for sure. And then you got Tennessee the week after, and you can get to 9-4 if you're back to what you were. But I think these games will tell a lot because they're not as good defensively as the teams they've just faced. And I think we'll know more. Was it the defenses or was it the start of something going in the wrong direction?
Do you suspect Lattimore plays this week?
it's so hard to say. We haven't seen him on the field, so I think it's hard to say one way or another until we actually see him on the field. And nothing would surprise me in this. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if he sits another week. I mean, those – you know, the hamstrings can be several week things. But I don't know, Brian. I don't know. Like, we'll know more on Wednesday, not just if we see him on the field, but what is he doing on the side field? Is he, like, cutting loose running? Is he doing all sorts of things? Like, then you can see, okay, he's getting close. But, you know, until you see that, then it's hard to really know where it's at.
Yeah, you covered this team a long time.
I've heard.
I know, just like, me playing it, I knew it was a difference back in the day as it is today. I'm sure fans watching it, it's not the same as it was for them. How has it changed for you covering the team when Dallas Week pops up?
Oh, because now it feels like – it feels sometimes like a contrived rivalry because it just hasn't been as big as when I first started covering it, right? Because, like, you're talking about going back – I shouldn't say contrived, but, like, it's forced to, like, oh, it's Dallas Week. Like – I don't feel that anymore, right? It's just, and I think players change teams so much. The fans here clearly still hate them, and I don't blame them. But I don't think it's like in Dallas they're not talking about it like that, you know, because it hasn't to them. It hasn't, you know, it hasn't meant as much because this team hasn't been as good. So, you know, I just think it's different. Like way, way back in the day, it was like either you guys were really good. Or they were really good. And so it's just like, and I started covering it just after all, you know, that great period of the 80s, right, where it was a major, it was one of the best rivalries in sports. So the only way you can get back to that is if this team and that team becomes good and you're playing for something, you know, consistently. And but that's why, like, the last time you really felt it was, like, probably 2012. When they had to win the division and it was at home and it was an electric atmosphere, it hasn't been like that. And I don't know. Do you guys feel that same way?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's just like, I know it comes up and we discuss it and, you know, and on the media stuff, we always have a point to discuss that, but you didn't have to hear the media back in the day.
No.
You felt it. You saw it. You experienced things that let you – as a player, going to practice, I'm looking around, I'm like, oh, hell, we better be ready this week.
Yeah.
Because the fans were ready, you know, and, like, over the last I don't know how many years, you won't even see nothing. Nobody was really having any rallies about it.
It's also hard to talk about Dallas Week the last few years when you're just like, just win a game.
Been so one-sided, right?
Yeah. I mean, just, but it's also like there were so many other things going on that, like, do you really think the players were getting pumped up about Dallas week last year? Like, no, it's, you know, it was just, they need to win and they know, but it's like, and it happens to be Dallas, but it's not something that I feel has been like, it's been talked about. Like, you know, I know like they knew the owner used to, how much he hated them and all that. So that's great, but it didn't filter into this feeling in the locker room. Now I will say, like, you know, the better you are, this team now, when, like, for example, when the Eagles come to town in a few weeks, like, if they win a few games and they're on another three-game win, let's say they're on a three-game win streak, right, the Eagles are coming to town, that's going to feel different in the locker room because it's a big game.
Yeah,
right.
You know, and so whoever you're playing, if it's a big game, it feels different. But if you're 4-6 last year and you're going down to Dallas, it ain't about Dallas week. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it falls flat.
Well, last year there was so much focus on the heated benches, right?
Yeah, I can recall fans saying, just win the two games against Dallas.
Yeah, I mean,
they don't say that
now,
no more.
No, because
they just win a game.
Yeah, and I also don't know, like, you know, would you rather go 2-14 or 14-2?
We discussed that earlier. I had to tell somebody that early on.
You know what, though? We're talking with John Keim here. Give him a follow at John_Keim, KEIM. Northwest Stadium had that big game feel for the Steelers game. And
yeah.
Maybe it was
sure.
Just because it was your 500th game, Johnny, but it had that feel. And I think when you get two good teams, they had it. We felt it at the Link last Thursday.
Yeah.
Now, granted, that's generated by Philly fans, and that crowd was overwhelmingly green.
Yeah.
I was almost surprised at how little burgundy there was, but
it was more burgundy there this year than it was in previous years.
I don't know, man.
I'm telling you, dude,
crazy green.
I'm telling you, yeah, their stuff is green, but it was more burgundy than they had in the previous years.
But you're right. Like, the, you know, the fun thing was like listening to the radio on the drive to the game, Philly radio, because it was about it being a big game, and the discussion was on like, how do you beat this? How do you slow this guy? What do you do here? And, like, that's the stuff that we haven't had in years. And so, like, it's actually been – that part has been fun. So, but you're right. Like, I mean, the atmosphere at FedEx and Northwest a couple weeks ago was great. And I would think, you know, whether – you know, I don't think you're going to get that same atmosphere when it's Tennessee, but you're going to get – this fan base knows how important those games are. And then if you can hold serve in the next few weeks, and then you got the Eagles coming in, like – things, that's going to be an electric place. And I also will see, you know, what I'm curious to see, JP, too, is in the future when now you can sell season tickets based off Jaden Daniels. And
yeah,
year.
Man.
Like, you really couldn't do that last year. So how much is that going to improve things even more? Like, there were a lot of Steelers fans last week. Would that be like that if this team takes off over the next couple of years? What will that look like? And will it become even a
Pittsburgh and Green Bay may be the outliers in that you, like, never stop them. But you're right. And one of the things, I don't know that they officially said it, but they've kind of made it known that the previous administration had all these long-term deals with ticket brokers that you've got to work hard to unwind.
Yeah.
And you have to work hard to unwind that and then have a product people want to buy.
There you go.
Correct.
I think they've got that going forward, but it's still going to be a transitory process, I think. I just think the best thing they can do is keep winning games, stack them up, and a lot of these problems kind of take care of themselves.
For sure.
As much as everybody's excited about Mark Ine and Mitch Rales and Josh Harris, the real excitement is Jaden Daniels and being 7-4.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, like, I was on some Philly station last week, and they were talking about that and, like, how much that plays into it. It's like, that's all great. Like, fans were excited last year when they came on, when Harris's group bought the team, and there's no doubt that helped. But they were understandably annoyed by how the season went.
Yeah.
And if they were 4-7 right now, like, the excitement is dimmed for sure.
Totally.
So, and here's what I say too. Like, this is when you know it's back to being football. Like, after the Steelers game, I think there was a sense of, like, all right, you know, like that was a good, tough game. Like, that was a fun game. You know, that, yes, I mean, they clearly could have won that game. One play could change that, could have changed the outcome of that game. And you can say it a lot of times, but there are like handful that's like they usually make this play. Mm-hmm. And so like that was where, but after the Eagles game, I noticed, you know, so the I think the disappointment was somewhat, I don't know about muted, because like people obviously want to win, but I think it was like, you know, but after the Eagles game, it's like I think a lot of that, the pissed offness returned. And mm-hmm. and I don't say that in a bad way, but like to me it was like actually kind of fun because like they were mad that they lost the game because it's a big game. Like yeah. that's, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's actually a good thing. Like
yeah.
the expectations have been raised and the fans were disappointed and upset and they want better. And like, that's great. Like that's yeah. when you know you're starting to get back to it. Like where it's like, not just happy to be this. It's like now the expectations have been raised. What can this team do? And I still like, you look at those rosters between the Eagles and Washington and the Eagles have a pretty damn good roster and they're further ahead for sure.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean there weren't opportunities to win that game.
Agreed.
Or to take the lead for sure.
Totally.
Speaking of raised expectations, John, did you watch any of the Mike Tyson Jake Paul fight?
Come on.
It was something.
And if you did,
it was something to watch.
It wasn't exciting.
No, I choose to remember Mike Tyson from back in the day.
That yeah, he was the baddest man on the planet.
Yeah, it was awesome.
How are you feeling about your Buckeyes and the pending college football playoff?
How much time we got?
Give me the 40-second version.
Okay, 40 seconds. They have a really good offense. I think they're going to be hard to stop. I have questions about their corners. Can they, you know, and I think, like, if you play a team with a really good offense, it's going to come down to a last possession. So, I mean, you know, but they've got to beat Indiana. Indiana is a great story this year.
Is that this weekend?
This weekend.
In Columbus? Where
and
is
it's
it?
Funny, it's in Columbus, and it's funny to say, like, they play Michigan the next week, and the game that people are talking about is this one. That's how much things have changed for Indiana and Michigan. So that'll be a fun game, and so we'll. I think this week will tell us a lot. But they have third and fourth receivers who are going to play in the NFL. Like,
yeah.
But you got to like their defense gives up stuff at the corner. So like that's you know. So
listen to this top five be in college football.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon, Ohio mm-hmm. State, Texas, Penn State, Indiana.
Hey, you know what happens when other people could get some five stars on their team?
I don't mean this.
That portal and that NIL has changed the game.
Ducks, Buckeyes, very, very legitimate.
Indiana?
I think I'd take Georgia, Ole Miss. I don't know.
Yeah, but see, you are spoiled like everybody else by just looking at the bigger schools from the SEC. Well, right now they're losing some games, aren't they? They're losing games they don't ordinarily lose. Still, they're losing.
Yeah.
But back in the day, it was always going to be SEC or Big Ten.
It still looks that way. Everybody but Notre Dame is SEC or Big Ten.
Right. Well, everybody moved over now, so we don't know who's who. So.
And Indiana did a good job in like the transfer portal, but still, like, it's still surprising what they've done. And their schedule hasn't been the hardest. But they've beaten the crap out of teams. So, excuse my language, they've beaten the heck out of teams.
Are you just, like, as a college football fan and then obviously as a Buckeye, are you excited about the 12-team playoff?
Yeah, not.
It's changed some stuff.
It has stuff. Like, you know, and it's funny because I understand the 4-team was becoming somewhat boring because, you know, a lot of times it was three of the four teams were always in there, right? Like, it always seemed like the same teams were in there. So I get that. It adds a different layer to the college football season. It makes other things like depth and some other things way more important than ever. And I don't like that, you know, there's these some conferences have automatic buys when it's like the conferences aren't that strong. So I think there's things to work out. Like, you know, I think the hard part with college football is there's no perfect way to ever execute any postseason stuff because there's so many teams and conferences are very different and, you know, but if Ohio State wins, I won't have a problem with it. It's hard because like how many games you have to play and, you know, that's, I don't know.
Yeah, they should.
Football's in a tough spot. Yeah.
they need to synchronize the scheduling. We got to go, though, John. Thank you for the time. Right. Appreciate
Thank you.
You,
Jay.
Thank you. See ya.
That's our friend John Keim. Give him a follow, @John_Keim.